Have you visited Village Green Apothecary lately? We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years. We still take the time to know our customers and provide the individualized attention you need. Plus, we have over 10,000 products, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products, homeopathic remedies, and health-related books. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or give us a call at 301-530-0800.
Good morning and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. Don't forget, we're here every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. I'm Dr. Kevin Passero, and don't forget to tune in next week. My wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be covering that show, so don't forget to tune in. Also want to remind everyone that we have a plethora of archive shows. We've been doing this radio show now for about a year and a half, covering a wide variety of topics related to health, wellness, and nutrition. And you can download any of the old archive shows for free by going to www.myvillagegreen.com. Also, don't forget that if you love our radio show and have a friend who you think would also love it, but they're not local to the area, they can stream the show live by going to www.myvillagegreen.com and clicking on the link to listen to the show live through the internet. So today we have a fantastic show lined up for you. I think it really covers a very important topic that so many of you out there, I think, will agree with. Today we're covering autism spectrum disorders. So this is autism, Asperger's, ADD, and ADHD. And, you know, anybody who's a parent out there knows that the instance of ADD and ADHD and autism has skyrocketed over the last 20 years. And this is a major concern amongst parents, amongst teachers, amongst everyone in our society, because so many children are facing issues with these problems. There's also a lot of adults out there who suffer from ADD and ADHD issues. There's a lot of debate and a lot of questions as to why the rate of these conditions has so dramatically increased in the last 20 years. We're not really going to get into some of those theories today. What we're going to be talking about today, though, is some very, very specific and helpful nutritional therapies, nutritional tips, things we can do with diet and nutrients, and looking at some of the natural approaches to dealing with and improving some of the aspects of these conditions. I have a wonderful special guest on the phone with me today. Elizabeth Strickland is a registered dietitian with over 25 years experience providing nutritional therapy to children with disabilities. She's presented at local, national, and international conferences on the topic of nutrition services for children with developmental disabilities. She has a private practice in San Antonio, Texas, specializing in nutritional therapies for children on the autism spectrum. She's a member of the Speakers Bureau for Cross Country Education, presenting her one-day seminar entitled Nutrition Therapy for Children with Autism. And she recently authored a book called Eating for Autism, The 10-Step Nutritional Plan to Help Treat Your Children's Autism, Asperger's, or ADHD, which was just released in April of 2009. And today we're going to be discussing a lot of the 10 steps in her book, which I was able to review in the last couple days, and really think there's a lot of wonderful information in this book, and very excited to have her on the show to share some of that with you all today. So Elizabeth, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
I want to start off by, if you don't mind, reading the 10 steps from the book, and, you know, just to give people a framework of what we're going to be talking about today. And then, you know, as time permits, we'll try and get into some of the different steps as much as possible over the course of the hour today.
Okay.
So, or maybe I should have you read the 10 steps, because after all, it is your book.
Okay, just kind of give an overview of the 10 steps to treat autism. Basically, I kind of came up with this idea of, you know, working with families over the last 20, 25 years. And one of the things that I continue to get from parents is that they're frustrated, that there's so much information related to nutrition and autism that they became overwhelmed, and they didn't quite know where to start and what to do, and they became frustrated, and they often just stopped, and they just gave up on nutrition, on helping, on trying to help their child.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was get all the different information, and I put it in a stepwise approach to kind of start with the very basics, and then mom and dad, as they were comfortable, they could move from one step to the next as they became comfortable with the basics, and then they could move into the more advanced nutrition interventions to help treat their child.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a step-by-step roadmap. You know, it helps break down a very overwhelming task. So I love the way that the book and the information is laid out like that.
Right, then parents can kind of move at their own pace. Mm-hmm. Some move very quickly, and others move at a slower pace, depending on just what all they have going on in their life and, you know, how easily they can make changes in their life and also their child's life.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing, just to note, I mean, for children diagnosed with autism, there aren't really any medical treatments. There's no breakthrough drugs or procedures or anything that, you know, these parents really have or doctors have to offer these parents. So nutrition is such an important role. I think, you know, it's very important for people to consider using nutrition with, you know, with children diagnosed with autism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So looking at the 10 steps, basically it starts off with step one is just the very basic and transitioning the child to a healthy diet. And this is actually something I think would be beneficial for any child, regardless
yes.
of their diagnosis or even if they had a diagnosis at all, but just eating healthier like we did a generation ago, where just we look at cleaning up the diet, you know, getting out artificial colors, artificial flavors, and all the artificial preservatives, sweeteners, excess white sugar.
So I definitely want to talk about that step in a little bit more detail in the show. So let's go to step two. Let's just read through them real quick so people just have a general overview of what we're going to be talking about today.
Step two is just making sure the child gets the basic nutrients that you need for the brain to function at its optimum level. You know, looking at getting adequate, you know, protein, the adequate carbohydrates and the right type of carbohydrates, going more towards the lower glycemic index, also getting in the healthier fats and eliminating the unhealthy fats such as the trans fat, and just addressing, making sure they get adequate fluid such as water. That's something this generation of children are not even aware water is a beverage. You know, making sure they get adequate water and how to get good, high-quality, clean water, because that's also an issue. And then just the basic micronutrients. And so forth, vitamins, minerals. And then rolling into step three is kind of getting still within the basics, is getting the child on a good, high-quality vitamin and mineral supplement, how to select a good, high-quality product, and also if they're working with a registered dietitian or a nutrition-oriented physician, the advantage of doing a custom vitamin mineral supplement and having that compounded by a pharmacist, and how that can be a huge advantage for the child. And then step four is moving to the next very basic, which is an omega-3 fatty acid supplement, making sure these children get adequate omega-3 fatty acids in the form of EPA and DHA. That is so critical for brain function, but yet research is really clear. These children tend to be deficient in omega-3 fatty acids. And then the next step is I like to get parents on taking a look at resolving their child's feeding problem, because there's a huge misconception in the autism community that these children are picky eaters, but they're actually problem feeders that need to be addressed with feeding therapy. And it doesn't matter how well-intended the parents are on feeding their child a healthy diet, it's not going to be healthy if the child doesn't eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we really have to address healing the child's feeding problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then in step six, then we move on to looking at the child, healing the child's gastrointestinal tract. Because there again, the child is not going to benefit from any of their nutritional interventions if they got gastrointestinal problems and they can't absorb and utilize their nutrients well.
Yeah, there's that 2006 study out of Harvard University showing 43% of autistic patients had issues with inflammation in the gut. So we know that there's can be a pretty strong correlation between GI inflammation and autism. So definitely an important thing to address. So let's go ahead, step seven.
Step step seven is identifying and treating food allergies.
Mm-hmm.
There again, research indicates that children on the spectrum have a higher rate of food allergies compared to the general population of children. And we know food allergy symptoms can mimic ADHD symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Interfere with a child's ability to pay attention, focus, concentrate.
Absolutely.
It affects their behavior. So we want to address food allergies. Step eight is when I start looking at making more major modifications in the child's diet, utilizing special elimination diets such as the elimination challenge diet, figuring out what particular foods are problematic for that child, and especially trying the gluten casein-free diet.
Mm-hmm.
Because for whatever reason, we're not exactly sure why, but we do know a huge percentage of children, especially with autism, really benefit from the gluten casein-free diet, and it definitely warrants a trial response.
Yep.
To try it out to see if the child can be a positive responder.
Absolutely.
And then step nine, I like to go to more advanced nutrition interventions that are commonly used in the autism community, and that's high-dosage vitamin D6, along with magnesium, because over 40 years, this has been one of the common advanced nutrition interventions utilized with children with autism, and many children are positive responders. And then the last step is where I kind of just look at exploring step 10, all the different additional nutritional supplements that may be helpful for these children, utilizing amino acids, vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutraceuticals, things that may be helpful to enhance cognitive functioning, for example, things to enhance the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
But basically looking at, also nutrients to enhance the detoxification system. So kind of once mom and dad got the basics done, then we move to that very last step, step 10, where we look at the kid as an individual and what particular symptoms do you specifically want to target and what supplements are we going to use, what kind of symptom relief to expect, what supplements to use, what is the dosage, how are you going to assess if they're helpful or not for the child, and when do you remove them if you need to or not.
Well, that's a great 10-step synopsis. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to start going into some of these 10 steps individually and talking about them in more detail and what parents could actually do in each of these steps and how to implement some of them. So this is Dr. Kevin Passera with the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue this discussion with Elizabeth Strickland, so don't go anywhere.
Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passera for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Megafood. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passera for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Zymogen. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passera for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Nordic Naturals. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passera for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Jarrow Formula. Have you visited Village Green Apothecary lately? We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years. We still take the time to know our customers and provide the individualized attention you need. Plus, we have over 10,000 products, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products, homeopathic remedies, and health-related books. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or give us a call at 301-530-0800.
Good morning and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260. We are here every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. covering a wide variety of topics related to health, wellness, and nutrition. I'm your host for this hour, Dr. Kevin Passero. My wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will return next week, so don't forget to tune into her show. Today, we are covering autism spectrum disorders, and I have a wonderful nutritionist on the phone with over 25 years of experience working with kids with the autism spectrum disorder. She has recently authored a wonderful book called The 10-Step Nutritional Plan to Help Treat Your Child's Autism, Asperger's, or ADD. And in the last segment, we outlined her 10-step nutritional plan to dealing with that. In this segment, we are going to start discussing some of the different steps, and she's going to clue us in on some more details and some very, very valuable information for any parent or any person who has someone in their life who's dealing with any of these spectrum disorders. So, Elizabeth, thanks so much for being on the phone with us today.
Sure, thank you.
And so let's start with step one, because I think there's a lot of information in step one that people don't quite understand. Step one, as you outlined, was transition the child to a healthy diet. It sounds real simple, but in reviewing some of the stuff in your book, there's a little bit more to that than just, having them eat more vegetables and, you know, some people's conception of what a healthy diet might be. You actually give some very specific recommendations about what the child should be avoiding. And some of those things are, as you mentioned in the last segment, artificial colors, artificial flavors, white sugars. So tell us a little bit more about why we would want a child to avoid some of these things and how artificial colorings and artificial flavorings might contribute to some of the symptoms that you see in the spectrum disorders. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand how pervasive they are in foods.
Right. There's been numerous research studies over the years, and one just as recent, in November 2007, that was published in The Lancet, that basically looks at how artificial colors, artificial flavors can have a really negative impact on a child's brain function. Now, what we don't realize sometimes is that artificial colors are a toxin. It is a petroleum-based product. It's made from coal tar. And if a child has any issues with effectively eliminating toxins out of their body, and that is a suspect in children on the autism spectrum, may have some enzyme deficiencies within their liver, mm-hmm. and they're not as able to effectively rid their bodies of toxins as well as the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
When they consume food with artificial colors, artificial flavors, some of the artificial preservatives, if they're not able to rid those byproducts out of their body, they're able to cross the blood-brain barrier, attach themselves to receptor sites in the brain, and it can interfere with brain cell communication from one brain cell to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the common symptoms you may see are things with behavior issues, impulse control, more hyperactivity, inability to pay attention, focus, and concentrate. So anytime that we can take a look at their food, really start looking at an ingredient list label and avoiding foods with artificial colors, artificial flavors, and preservatives, and get that out of their diet, you're going to see some subtle improvements overall in their behavior and their ability to pay attention, focus, and concentrate.
Now, some of these artificial preservatives are things like BHA, BHT, TBHQ. These are things that turn up in a lot of different products if you start reading labels.
Exactly. Those are the ones to focus on predominantly, on those three preservatives.
Right. And these things come from weird places. Artificial flavoring, a real common one, vanillin, basically is the artificial flavor for vanilla, and they make it from the waste product of paper mills. So, you know, I mean, these things come from very, very odd places,
right,
and are not intended to be necessarily consumed by humans. And children, you know, there's, at the beginning of the show, I talked about there are a lot of theories about why these spectrum disorders are becoming so much more prevalent in our society. And there is this theory of some genetic variations in these children where,
right,
you know, you give them the perfect storm, the right amount of toxic exposure, the right amount of vaccination exposure, the right amount of all of these factors adding up, and, you know, a child with a genetic abnormality in their liver with detoxification may run into some problems.
Exactly.
And, you know, it seems very, very logical that you would want to minimize the amount of toxins these children are exposed to. And as you have experienced in your 25 years of practice, doing these kind of things can create anywhere from subtle to dramatic differences in children's behavior.
Correct.
Yep.
And I think it's important when families are looking at making changes in the child's diet and eliminating chemicals, it is important to look at the whole family and not just to focus on the child, but the whole family needs to eat healthier. The whole family needs to make some of these dietary changes.
Right. And I think we'll get more into that when we talk about, you know, problem feeding and some of the strategies, you know, you may share with us about, you know, how to get these children to eat a little bit healthier. Getting the whole family involved and not just isolating the one child is
exactly.
definitely a very, very helpful strategy in doing that. So now a lot of this work was pioneered by Dr. Feingold. Isn't that correct? Yeah. So who was Dr. Feingold?
Well, Dr. Feingold initially took a look at how different ingredients such as artificial colors and flavors could have an impact on a child's brain function, and also looking at the particular substance called salicylate.
Yep.
Some children are sensitive
to salicylates.
The compound salicylates in food. And that is a common and also a natural ingredient.
Yep, in a lot of foods.
But also that has to go through the detoxification mm-hmm. process. And if a child has issues with detoxification, they can have problems with foods with salicylate.
Yep. Now, he pioneered this work a while ago, so we've known about it. I think in the 1960s is when he was pioneering this work. So it's
exactly.
Information has been around for a while. So let's talk about now getting, you know, step two is, you know, make sure your child is getting enough basic nutrients. So after we take all the junk out, all the packaged
mm-hmm.
food, you know, we start getting the kids eating whole foods and, you know, not all the stuff that comes in packages and is pre-made. We want to get them foods with higher nutrient content. So what are some strategies or what kind of things are we looking at to start introducing some foods that have a higher amount of nutrient content?
Yeah, and that's important because I think before we even start looking at supplements, we have to take the child as an individual and the best that we can, considering what their limitations are with feeding problems, we have to start working on expanding their diet to include basic nutrients that they need to enhance cognitive functioning, their brain function. Because unfortunately, many children on the spectrum, their diet is almost 100% carbohydrate.
Yep.
They eat lots of carbs, and they're usually unhealthy carbs. And one of the basic nutrients they're deficient in is protein,
mm-hmm.
good, high-quality protein to provide them with the essential amino acids that they need to produce neurotransmitters in the brain.
Right.
Now, we look at neurotransmitters such as serotonin that impact your mood, your behavior, your thought processes, leads to depression. You know, it alters your sleep cycle at night if you have inadequate serotonin. You know, these children need essential amino acids from protein to produce enough dopamine, norepinephrine,
mm-hmm.
which is going to impact their ability to pay attention, focus, concentrate, to learn, process information. So often when we look at these children that are diagnosed with attention deficit or hyperactivity disorder, the first treatment approach from the medical community is to put them on a stimulant drug to enhance and improve and increase their neurotransmitter, you know, levels. Well, maybe we need to get down to the very basic. First off, give them the basic raw material, such as protein, that their brain needs to produce neurotransmitters.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at what major nutrients impact brain function and make sure we have that in their diet before we even start looking at anything like medications. So protein is a very basic one to get started with.
Yeah, not only to create the building blocks of amino acids for the neurotransmitters, but protein also extremely important for stabilizing blood sugar and, you know, reliance on carbohydrates at breakfast, lunch, snacks, and dinner is that you're going to get these dramatic spikes and drops in blood sugar. And the brain cannot function optimally when blood sugar levels are too high, and it cannot function optimally when blood sugar levels are too low. And eating carbohydrates will create these spikes in these valleys. Eating protein will help to stabilize blood sugar levels and can definitely lead to increased energy and increased focus and concentration. Definitely a very important issue. So before we get to the next break, I want to just touch on this stuff where, you know, we get the junk out of the diet, we start introducing some better food. And again, later in the show, we're going to spend some time talking about, if you have children, how you get them to start eating better food, you know, from a behavioral standpoint. But then we get into the aspect of vitamins and nutrients. And you mentioned this briefly about compounding custom vitamins or compounding vitamins. And I think this is a really important aspect to touch on because a lot of people don't even understand that this is an option or have never even heard about it. And you've been doing this work for a really long time. So talk to me a little bit about where you would go with choosing the right multivitamin or multimineral and this concept of compounding.
Yeah, that's something I move into step three, is that once we take the garbage out of the diet, then expand the diet to include some healthy foods and protein and modify the excess carbs, then we start looking at a safety net. We have to have a safety net, and that is a vitamin and mineral supplement. Every single one of these children, and matter of fact, every one of us, everyone, should be going to be on a good, high-quality, daily multivitamin and mineral supplement every single day. You take it every day for the rest of your life. And one of the things that I do for children on the spectrum, since I think multivitamins are so critical, I started over 20 years ago working with the Village Green apothecary to custom design some vitamin and mineral formulas for each individual child I work with. So I basically start off with a baseline of all the different vitamins and minerals that I want the child to have and the basic levels that I want to have, at least up to 100-300% of their recommended daily allowance for all the vitamins and minerals. Then I look at the child as a little individual, and if they're anemic, I may need to add iron to it. If they're on the gluten casein-free diet and we just can't get enough calcium in their diet, I'll add a higher amount of calcium in it to meet their recommended daily allowance. If they have a lot of acute illnesses, I can increase their antioxidants to enhance their immune system.
So it really allows you to create these custom formulas for the individual person, which is so
exactly.
Unique. The other wonderful thing is that with custom compounding, you know, you may have a child who may do better with a liquid supplement or may do better with different forms of administration. And what's nice with compounding is you can dictate whether it comes in a capsule or whether it comes in a liquid,
exactly.
Or you can dictate the form. And the other nice thing is you can find other liquid supplements out there, but a lot of times they contain the exact things that we want the child to avoid, like artificial colors,
exactly.
Or artificial flavorings. And with compounding, we can use all natural sweeteners like stevia or xylitol. We can use natural flavorings like strawberry flavor, natural colorings. You can use these things without stepping over the line of all of the work that we did in step one, which was getting all of the junk out. So it really does allow a practitioner like yourself to not only customize it for the individual child, but make sure that they're getting the highest quality supplement with the least amount of unwanted ingredients in there, which is so common in so many different types of things on the market. So we're going to have to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation and get into some of the other steps in Elizabeth Strickland's 10-step program, nutritional plan to help treat your child's autism, Asperger's, and ADD. This is Dr. Kevin Passera with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1260 AM, brought to you by The Village Green. Don't go anywhere. We will be back in just a minute.
Have you visited Village Green Apothecary lately? We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years. We still take the time to know our customers and provide the individualized attention you need. Plus, we have over 10,000 products, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products, homeopathic remedies, and health-related books. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or give us a call at 301-530-0800. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passera for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Himalaya Herbal Healthcare. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Twin Lab. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Enzymatic Therapy. Have you visited Village Green Apothecary lately? We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years. We still take the time to know our customers and provide the individualized attention you need. Plus, we have over 10,000 products, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products, homeopathic remedies, and health-related books. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or give us a call at 301-530-0800.
Good morning and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We are here on 1260 AM every Saturday from 10 to 11 AM. I am your host for this hour, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget to tune in next week when my wonderful co-host Dana Lake returns to cover more exciting topics related to health, wellness, and nutrition. Just want to give a brief mention about the Village Green Apothecary. If you've been listening to the show, in the last segment we talked about some of the services they have in regards to compounding nutritional supplements. They can also compound bioidentical hormones. We have a regular pharmacy that can fill all of your regular prescription needs, and they accept all major insurance. We also carry over 10,000 different nutritional products and have an array of nutritional advisors, herbalists, naturopathic doctors who are all available to discuss your health and wellness needs for you. So if you have any questions, feel free to stop into the store located right on West Cedar Lane, where we've been for the last 40 years. So it's a wonderful resource. Don't forget to stop in. We're running some great specials. This month, we have 25% off of some Zymogen products, Metagenics products, Jaro formulas, Nordic Naturals. So don't forget to stop in and see what kind of specials we're running for all of your favorite nutritional supplement needs. So in this hour, we've been talking to Elizabeth Strickland, who has over 25 years experience working nutritionally with children with autism, Asperger's, ADD, and ADHD. She's recently released a wonderful book called The 10-Step Nutritional Plan to Help Treat Your Children's Autism, Asperger's, and ADHD. And in this hour, we've been talking about some different strategies in her 10-step plan. So in this segment, what we're going to do is we're going to get into a few other steps. So Elizabeth, without further ado, let's talk about step 4 in your book, which is increase omega-3 fatty acid intake.
Yeah, that's another kind of basic step that every single child needs to have implemented to get some good, high-quality omega-3 fatty acids in them in the form of EPA and DHA. And from your diet, the only dietary source comes from fish oil. And since there is a huge concern, especially in the autism community, about fish and how they can contribute to contamination with mercury, often we're not able to use fish as the dietary source to provide omega-3 fatty acids to these children. So we're often looking at a supplement, omega-3 fatty acid supplement. And one product that I really like and typically recommend is one from Nordic Naturals. And they have some really good high-quality products. They have child-friendly products. Mm-hmm. So that way we can get a product in the child that's going to be mercury-free.
Yep, I think just about all my shows, you know, I'm always talking about fish oils and always recommending Nordic Naturals, whether it's a Nordic-related show or not. So, I mean, they do make really the best quality products. All the top practitioners seem to gravitate towards them.
And just to for parents to understand that the research has been very clear that children with autism, ADD, ADHD, dyspraxia, even dyslexia, this whole subgroup of children may have an enzyme deficiency where their body is not able to process the plant-based dietary sources of omega-3 fatty acids and make that conversion to EPA and DHA. So they're going to be very dependent on the supplement.
Right. Thank you very much for bringing that up, because a lot of people have the misconception that if they're taking omega-3s from the plant source like flax, they're getting all of the omega-3s that they need.
Right.
But, you know, what you have to understand is that these enzymatic conversions have to happen for your body to convert these plant-based omega-3s into the EPA and DHA. And as you just mentioned, some people genetically are not very efficient at doing that. So it's very important to go right to the fish oil supplement, because the fish oil supplement actually contains the EPA and DHA in its finalized, utilizable form.
Correct.
That they can, you know, their bodies can take advantage of right away.
And within the last 6 months or so, another research study was released that in general, males cannot make that conversion from, let's say, flaxseed to the EPA and DHA that the brain needs to utilize as readily as a female can.
But
just in general, males cannot make the conversion as easily as a female. So is it just an issue in the general population that they're not able to make that conversion very easily? So I think it's really important to bypass that possible enzyme deficiency and go straight to the EPA
right.
and DHA.
To a high-quality fish oil, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about an issue that I know every parent listening to the show is talking about. You know, we've talked about getting the stuff bad stuff out of the diet, introducing more protein, getting healthier foods. You know, parents are dealing with their children who just won't eat the foods that they know the child should be eating. They know what they should be doing, but they
right.
can't get their kids to do it, and they have given up on nutritional approaches to dealing with these issues simply because of that reason. So please enlighten us with some tips, some suggestions, anything you can in your 25 years of experience of what parents can do to get their kids actually implementing these dietary changes.
I think one of the major things parents need to do, first off, is to really recognize that their child is not a picky eater, that they're a problem feeder. And I discussed this whole topic in my book, Eating for Autism. I dedicated a whole chapter to it since it is such a huge issue. You know, a picky eater is a typical developing toddler that goes through a normal developmental stage where they kind of limit their diet and then they expand it back out and they do fine. Where a problem feeder requires feeding intervention, therapy sessions. And the reason, we got to look at why will they not eat. It's not just because they have autism or because they choose not to. Often there's reasons. They may have a medical condition. They may have a gastrointestinal problem where they have reflux and they have stomach acid coming up their esophagus and setting their chest on fire and their throat burns. So they're not going to eat any food you want to offer them because they start to get that connection that food equals pain and they avoid food. So one of the first things we need to do, we need to pull together a team, you know, a dietitian, an occupational therapist, a speech therapist, a behavioral specialist. Get a referral to an open-minded physician who's going to look at the child holistically to figure out why will this child not eat. It may be an undiagnosed medical problem that needs to be treated. Another contributing factor to think about is a nutritional problem. If the child has a deficiency, especially like in the mineral zinc, you will lose your appetite. You have no sensation of hunger. So there again, the child has no desire to sit down and eat a healthy meal because they have no sensation of hunger. So we got to rely, relieve them of that nutritional deficiency. They may have an oral motor dysfunction, so they need to see a speech therapist so they can rule out oral motor problems. They may have some weak muscle tone within their oral cavity, and they can't manipulate their tongue and move food around their mouth. They may not be able to get good rotary chewing movement to be able to even eat meat. So they tend to migrate to foods that are going to be much more easy to manipulate, you know, such as applesauce, macaroni and cheese, soft foods.
So it's really important to take this very holistic approach and understand that you're not dealing with simply a child who is, you know, eating based on their whims and cravings, but there might be some other very significant issues that are, you know, driving their food choices. And the first step in resolving that is understanding that that issue might be present. So we're going to need to take another quick break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. Elizabeth Strickland, author of the 10-Step Nutritional Plan to Help Treat Your Children's Autism, Asperger's, and ADHD, is going to continue to share some of her wonderful wisdom and experience with us. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260. We'll be back in just a minute.
Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Megafood. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Zymogen. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Nordic Naturals. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Jarrow Formula.
Good morning and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget to tune in next week when my wonderful co-host Dana Lake returns to review more exciting topics related to health, wellness, and nutrition. Today, we have been talking about nutritional approaches to dealing with the autism spectrum disorders. And if you're just tuning into the show and are interested in hearing it in its entirety, feel free to go to www.myvillagegreen.com and you can download any of our previous shows for absolutely free and listen at your leisure. You can also log on to that website if you'd like to listen to the show online live on Saturday mornings, or you'd like to refer a friend who's somewhere else in the country who can't receive this radio signal. They can also listen via the internet. So we have on the phone with us today Elizabeth Strickland, who has over 25 years in working with children with autism using nutritional approaches, and she has been sharing with us some wonderful information that has been released in her new book, The 10-Step Nutritional Plan to Help Treat Your Child's Autism, Asperger's, and ADHD. In the last segment, we were discussing such an important issue for so many parents, which is they know that they need to be doing nutritional interventions to benefit their child's health, but they cannot get their children to eat the foods that they want. And Elizabeth was just discussing with us the difference between a picky eater and a problem feeder. And what she identified is that most of these children are problem feeders. And if that's the case, you have to understand that these children need a comprehensive, holistic team approach to dealing with their feeding problems. So Elizabeth, you are the expert on this, so I'm going to let you take over. Please share with us any other tips that you have in regards to identifying picky eaters versus problem feeders and some of the things parents can do to help these children eat healthier.
Okay, one of the other major contributing factors that I think is important for parents to think about and to start working on getting some treatment for is their sensory integration processing disorder. Because for these children, eating can be painful just to look at the food, just to smell it, just to touch it. How it feels in their mouth is painful to them from a sensory standpoint. So it's very important they work with an occupational therapist to help desensitize them to how they're dealing with their senses and how it impacts their ability to eat. So that's going to be a key in getting these children to eat a variety of foods, is working with an occupational therapist. And then in general, I covered in my book, Eating for Autism, some basic strategies that mom and dad can start to help their child to improve their eating and also to prevent the feeding problem from getting worse until you pull together a feeding team. And something as simple as stop grazing. Many of these children are just nibbling all day long.
So let me ask you a quick question, because this is a good point. But before we get to it, you know, if a parent has a child who they think has a feeding problem after listening to the show and identify it, is it pretty easy to find occupational therapists, speech therapists, resources out there who are used to working with children with autism in the specific aspect of feeding as an issue?
No, it is not easy.
So how does a parent find these kind of resources if they feel like that's what their child needs? Where do they go for help? How do they find people in their area that can possibly help them?
Basically, what I advise my clients to do is that since they're not typically designated feeding teams out there, you have to develop your own feeding team. Who are the therapists currently working with your child? And you build your own feeding team. Who is your current OT? Who's your current speech therapist?
And you have to ask these people, let's say you don't have one, or you maybe have one of these people, maybe you have a OT but not a speech therapist. You need to interview them and ask them, are you used to working with children with autism?
Exactly.
You know, they have a feeding problem. Is this something you're comfortable in working with? And basically doing the legwork to really screen people who have experience and expertise in this specific area. Is that correct?
Exactly.
So it's really up to the parents to find
the area that really falls in the lap of the parent in those cases. They have to learn themselves about this process. They have to advocate for their child, and they have to start searching out for therapists who have some experience in feeding issues and then pull together a feeding team. And what I advise many parents to do, if they have a therapist they like and they're working on with speech or handwriting, and the therapist isn't comfortable with feeding therapy, a parent can put in their child's IEP at school, in the individual education program, that their therapist can receive training, and that can be covered by special education funds through the special education process. And that can be covered by, then the therapist can get training, they can get some experience, and then they can come back and provide the therapy to your child.
Mm.
So that's one of the things I work with families on.
Do you talk about that in your book at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. So I think that's a really important chapter for parents to read, because it sounds like a really key issue. You know, pretty much everything that we're talking about with nutrition cruxes on getting the child to actually eat properly, which is sometimes the most difficult part. So putting together this team and knowing how to do it, having resources and strategies, I think is very important. So thanks for sharing that. So talk about grazing. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I thought that was an important issue.
Yes. As parents are working on pulling together the feeding team, which can take some time to get that accomplished, in the meantime, I educate mom and dad on basic strategies, like stop grazing. Your child is not a little cow. They don't have seven stomachs. They're supposed to eat three times a day, three small meals a day, and two to three snacks a day. They should be sit down at the table, you know, and you should have at least 2.5-3 hours between meals and snacks, so they can develop that internal biorhythm of feeling hungry, full, hungry, full. And that will stimulate a normal appetite. And nothing in between meals and snacks except water. You have your beverage, such as milk, or your milk substitute, or you have a diluted 100% juice. There again, at meals and snack times, water in between. So we've got to stop the grazing. Another thing we want to do is just positive reinforcement at mealtime. Not to stress on the child, have it become an overwhelming, frustrated experience, but to offer the child something you know he's going to eat at mealtime, make a positive comment when he does consume it, and you work during feeding therapy to get the child trained to eat a new food, and then once they eat it during therapy, then you bring it to the mealtime table.
Sure. It sounds like it's not only therapy for the child, but also for the parent, because a lot of parents have... You know, I mean, as a parent myself, I know, you know, you want to see your child eat. You want to see them consume food. There's something so satisfying about being a parent and watching your child eat a good meal. And I think a lot of parents, you know, do create a lot of issues around food for their children, whether consciously or subconsciously.
Exactly. Yeah. And just even the language that parents use during mealtime, you know, you don't want to plead, beg, and bribe a child to eat. Because then the child gets control and they're able to say no and manipulate the parent. So just something as simple as, don't ask the child to eat some peas. You know, Susie, take a bite of peas for me. The child will refuse. Just make concrete statements. Susie eats peas with her spoon. Susie eats green beans with her fork. Susie sips water from her cup, making a concrete statement so the child can hear it, they can process it, and then they can respond to it without it becoming a battle between the parent and the child, where the parent, where the child ultimately is going to win.
Right, has the control.
Right. So just working on some basic strategies during mealtime to make it more pleasant and to make it become less of a battle, and leave the actual feeding therapy to the specialist during feeding therapy sessions.
Sounds like a lot of work, but it sounds like something that, you know, like I said, is so incredibly important.
Right, and it's the way to get the diet to be expanded. Otherwise, I know it's a lot of work and it can be a little time consuming, but if we don't do it, then you're going to end up with a lifelong history of a feeding problem. The child is going to eat less and less and less over time and have some severe nutritional deficiencies. So the time and effort that you initially put into it is going to be well worth it, and it pays off. And the majority of these children that I work with that actually, where they actually implement feeding therapy and implement the basic strategies that mom and dad can do during mealtime, these children's diet very quickly can expand and just take off, and they can do beautifully with it. It's just a matter of taking the time to implement the suggestion.
Yeah, I imagine that's incredibly gratifying for the parents, you know, not only just to see their child eating more than just pizza, macaroni and cheese, and bread, you know, but also from a health perspective, being able to implement some of the strategies that we've discussed in the show in regards to, you know, eating healthier, more protein, taking out the artificial flavors, and, you know, watching the health benefits that come with making those changes in your child.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have, only about a minute left, so I think we're just about out of time. Any last tidbits or little pieces of information, Elizabeth, that you want to share with the listeners before we have to sign off?
I think the last comment to leave with is for parents to really grasp that food is more than something that looks good and tastes good, that we know food is absolutely critical for optimum brain function, so it's not something we want to take for granted. Because that child is not going to benefit from all the therapy sessions until you feed their starving brain.
Exactly.
So it's definitely worth the time and effort and the time they put into it. They will see the payoff from it.
Well, that's great. Now, you have a website, is that correct?
Yes, the website's www.asdpuzzle.com.
Excellent. Well, that's a wonderful resource. Also, make sure if you're interested to go out and purchase Elizabeth's new book, The 10-Step Nutritional Plan to Help Treat Your Child's Autism, Asperger's, or ADD. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
All right. Take care. Well, folks, that just about wraps up our hour today. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1260 AM. Don't forget, we're going to be here next Saturday at 10 AM, and my co-host Dana Lake will be covering that show, so don't forget to tune in, and I will see you all in a couple weeks.
Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain drug or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at MyVillageGreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit MyVillageGreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Metagenics. Have you visited Village Green Apothecary lately? We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years. We still take the time to know our customers and provide the individualized attention you need. Plus, we have over 10,000 products, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products, homeopathic remedies, and health-related books. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or give us a call at 301-530-0800. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain drug or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at MyVillageGreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit MyVillageGreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Zymogen. Wait, don't buy inferior, overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at MyVillageGreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit MyVillageGreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Jarrow Formulas.